I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode here at the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Mittelstad. This week's topic on the Stress Mastery Podcast, our topic is complacency. And on today's spirituality, we're going to discuss the energy of complacency. I'm here today filling in for Bill again, who is still out in Utah for a weekend workshop. And I'm here with David, the super millennial. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing good. I'm glad I was able to make it on today.
Yeah, I see you weathered the storm from last night.
Yeah, in Florida, we're kind of used to it, but it sucks when it happens. But you held it down, and it was a great episode.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hey, you know, show must go on, right?
Yeah, right?
Okay. Before we get started, any announcements or anything?
No, the only thing I have is Bill will be returning on Sunday, so the podcast will resume like normal. And we'll still have the weekend episodes and everything. Like I said, on Tuesday's episode, we will have some new lessons and material coming into the community. So next week, we will have more information about that. But definitely pay attention to that if you guys are in the community. If you're not in the community, the first 30 days are free. All you have to do is sign up, and the links are right below. If you have any questions, email me, david@livingrightwithbillcourtwright.com. I'll take care of any questions you got.
Okay, and I'd like to say that man, the Stress Mastery community is really rocking. Man, there's a lot of really great feedback and exchange, and it's a great place to be.
It's definitely awesome. I encourage everybody.
Okay, ready to get started here?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, today I want to go a bit deep, like I never do, and talking about complacency. Everything in the universe is energy. Everything. Energy manifests itself into matter. Energy turns itself into a star, or it manifests itself into a human being, or any number of limitless possibilities. But one thing is true. Energy is always changing. So everything changes. When energy is manifested into a star, like our sun, we can take it for granted that it's just a big ball of light in the sky that gives us daytime and keeps us warm. We've become quite complacent about its existence. We've just come to expect it. But it will not remain there forever. Upon close inspection, these stars are always a boiling, spinning, ever-changing ball of fluctuating energy. Even when they die out, as they lose their energy and shrink, they begin to collapse under gravity. And when the pressure builds up, they go supernova and explode with such force that the gas is shot far out into the vastness of the universe, where new stars will then be born from this energy. Does that sound like complacency to you, Dave?
No, not at all. If things are constantly changing and moving, no matter if you try to stop it or not, and it's still changing, that doesn't sound complacent to me.
Yeah, that's that's the nature of the universe. That's the nature of us, that's who we really are. When it comes to the energy of the living universe, it never is complacent, never satisfied with where or how it is. It is always undergoing change. So complacency itself is not natural. Somewhere along the line, complacency must have been taught to us. We weren't born complacent. It's just not in our nature, just like it isn't anywhere else in the universe. Our bodies are always undergoing change. Our minds keep changing, society keeps changing, and humans keep evolving. It is just not natural to be complacent. So why do we become complacent? We were programmed to be complacent. The opposite of complacency is change, growth, expansion. The tribal programming almost requires complacency. Change is the last thing the tribe wants, so we get programmed with a set of rules and beliefs with an expectation that we remain uncritically satisfied with the status quo. Satisfaction with the beliefs of the tribe and defending those beliefs from those who would challenge them is paramount to keeping the structure and functionality of the tribe intact. And so as members, we must attack those who go against the tribe's beliefs before they can destroy it or break free from the tribe. Complacency leads to the idea of defend and attack. Not only does the tribe do this via programming, but once learned, the ego does this to ourself as well. So as to protect its own cage of comfort, complacency keeps us locked into the cage of comfort and prevents change. Doesn't that sound logical?
Yeah, it's funny. I think the part that you said that I'd never really thought about that way is the people who don't want change want you to change your mind about wanting to change. They want you to keep the same and stop causing ripples. They want you to change, but they don't want to change.
Exactly. Because everything in the universe is energy, nothing can truly be complacent. Even within our own complacency, we're still changing, although we're too often unaware of this change. Because energy is always working its magic below the surface, even though we may not realize it, the energy within us is pushing us to do and be more. But this complacency we've been programmed with causes us to resist this eternal need for growth and expansion. This is the internal struggle we face every single day of our life. This is why, no matter how deeply programmed we are, and regardless of how entrenched we are in our beliefs about who we are, why we are, or how the world needs to be, we are compelled to break free and find our purpose, to self-author our life. We often don't even know it's happening or why, but it is happening anyway because change is the only constant. This is why we will, at some point in our life, feel this disturbance in our energy. A desire to change something about our life. We may no longer feel satisfied with our jobs or careers and seek a change. Or we may realize we're just spinning our wheels, or running on this treadmill to nowhere that no amount of money or material acquisitions will satisfy us. We may one day wake up and look at our partners and wonder where the joy in our relationship went, when it is just that we became complacent or uncritically satisfied, each taking the other for granted. We may stop feeling content with anything in our life and then desire change. Whatever it may be, deep down underneath the surface of this illusion of life we created, our energy is boiling within, like a star waiting to explode in order to create something new. Yet, in our years of living this complacent life, we've lost our dreams, the purpose we were each born to fulfill. Something is clearly wrong, but we often don't know what it is. We only know something about our life has to change. We typically run into this restlessness about once every 7 years. We can find evidence of this throughout the universe and even our own lives. In astrology, what's known as the 7-year cycle can dramatically shift our reality and human existence. Every 7 years, there are shifts and changes in the cosmos that influence the energies in our lives in major ways. Because everything in the universe is energy, and we are energy, there is great significance in this 7-year cycle of life. In astronomy, some of the major planets return to similar alignments every 7 years, or multiples of 7, and with it, there is a shift in their gravitational pull on all the other bodies in the universe, including the Earth. It's been scientifically proven that our bodies replace the cells that make it up. And while cell regeneration takes place faster with some parts of our body than others, in roughly 7 years, we'll have a whole new body. Look at our own lives for evidence of these 7-year shifts in energy that Bill often references as stages of development. We're programmed with our tribal beliefs up until the age of 7. Then we go through another shift around 14 as we shift into the teenage years. Then we become adults at age 21, where we undergo another shift in our life as we go out into the world. About the age of 28, which is yet another multiple of 7, we typically have acquired enough experience to begin another shift, and we must break free from our tribes and shift into self-authoring our life. Of course, we may enter into these shifts in between any of these 7-year cycles, but the major transitional shift in our lives usually happen every 7 years. If we looked back at our life, we might very well discover that around every 7 years, we've grown complacent and need a change. I know from my own life, I have never been able to stay working at a job for longer than 7 years before moving on, or in being an artist or musician, been able to keep painting the same subjects in the same style, or playing the same genre of music for longer than that. Something deep down was pushing me to change. Again, the major change may happen sooner or a little later, but the disturbance itself is felt around this 7-year cycle. You may linger at a job longer than 7 years, but all you are really doing is, out of your complacency, holding on to the disturbance in your energy longer. Because we are energy itself, we are subject to the 7-year cycle of major shifts. Our bodies will feel the shift in energy, even if our conscious mind is unaware. If we are not energetically aligned with the universe, we will feel this disturbance, and the longer we remain unaware and live unconsciously, the greater this disturbance becomes, which typically manifests itself in poor mental and physical health. This is when we're more prone to illness and suffer from things like depression, anxiety, worry, fear, doubt, to a much greater degree, and we won't have a clue why. Have you seen this happen with your own life? Like kind of every 7 years, something just doesn't seem right?
So that's actually a question that I have for you. Is this 7-year shift also could be a positive direction shift too? Or is it generally usually within the 7 years is more of a or negative or a disturbance of needing a shift?
I think the disturbance actually comes from living a complacent life. Mm-hmm. That's why we feel disturbed. We get so complacent and comfortable, and then the shift comes along and something isn't right. Mm-hmm. And actually, it is a positive thing. It's trying to force us into doing something to make a change to get us out of our complacent living. So it's really a positive. But if we aren't actively doing something about it, or if we're not aligned with the energy and we're just unaware, living unconsciously, yeah, it can feel negative because it's just this disturbance we feel. You work at a job and 7 years comes along and something's like, man, I don't know what it is, but I'm just not happy.
Yeah, for me, the reason why I ask is because right now Bill and I are we're right at the going on the 7-year mark. And I would say right now the company for Stressmaster as we started is definitely at a tipping point for its next shift in direction that we're going, you know. creating mm-hmm. bigger things, finally taking off for the things that have been created for the last 7 years. And that's why I asked. It was definitely not a disturbance feeling, but I could see where if I became stagnant or uninspired, where I would feel that kind of pull and that sure. takeaway, knowing I needed to do something or the actions that it needed to be done in order to make that tipping point shift actually right. happen. Because I think for sure, if I got complacent and I wasn't doing those things, it would definitely kind of feel that disturbance of you should be doing something, knowing that the shift is supposed to take place. But if you're not willing to do it or be connected in that involvement of being, then it won't happen. So that's why when you started to say, I was like, man, you know what? If we're right at the 7 year mark and things
yeah.
are at the tipping point for us.
But see, you guys are constantly working on personal and spiritual growth. You guys are aware of what you're doing, and you're aware of your energy, and you're aware of all these things. And because you're aware, you're getting to that 7 year like tipping point or shift into something major. And it's not a disturbance, but it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, if you had been doing it this long and you're going, oh man, we're both just kind of going through the motions. Then you might feel it more as a negative disturbance as opposed to an excitement that, wow, all this work's coming to fruition and this major shift is about to happen. So really, it's about how aligned you are with your energy. And because you guys are, it's exciting rather than disturbing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the big things that, you know, as soon as you started talking about it, I can feel the energy shift, you know, that's coming about through the work that we're putting out, the material that's going on, the way that Bill talks on the podcast. And I definitely can see, you know, any times that I do, you know, get activations and my ego starts acting up, it's one of those of, man, you've been doing this for a long time now, and all these things that want to keep me complacent, because now we're actually moving away from all the stuff that we've done and now putting it into action. So that's definitely the talk, you know, the speech that my ego Nelson is trying to give me. And I never realized that it was trying to keep me complacent, because we are at that tipping point ready for that shift.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And isn't it interesting that your shift is happening also with a worldwide shift with this pandemic and major socio-political shifts, and all this stuff is all happening at the same time, right about the same time you guys are ready to make a major, you know, shift in what you're doing. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence at all. I think it's, you know, the energies are aligned, and it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's been many times that Bill and I talked about, you know, it may feel like not the perfect time to many people, and especially the world, you know, the pandemic and all these, you know, different things between rioting and all the stuff that we've had going on. But for us, it feels like it's the absolute perfect time to be doing this. And like you said, it aligns with what the energy and what the world will need kind of moving forward and kind of getting out of this. So sure. I think that's a perfect example for it.
Yeah. Awareness. It's always about awareness. Everything starts with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, being a spiritual teacher, I'm aware of these shifts in energy, and that's really what being a spiritual teacher is. It's about energy work. It's not about religion. It's a whole nother topic. But and, you know, being a spiritual teacher is not some woo-woo new age crap, but rather a scientifically provable perspective. There's no avoiding the shifts in energy, but we can remain complacent, because as the definition of complacency states, we're uncritically satisfied. With no awareness comes no criticism. Even though the shift in the energy is felt, if remaining complacent and not making the choice to shift with it is what leads to suffering. The longer one avoids personal and spiritual growth, the longer one will suffer through these shifts. This is why the programming is so detrimental to our well-being. We're not taught to understand ourselves as energy. We're only taught to be a fixed, unchangeable being that must remain locked into the programming of the tribe in order to keep the tribe functioning. but we were born to change. The tribe exists by not changing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think that's one of the big things. I think that's an important thing for a lot of people who are going into that stage where a shift or change is needing to be made, is that, you know, feeling that energy of the tribe is not always, you know, beneficial for you. In most cases, it's not, unless you have a tribe that is there, you know, that's following the change and following the way that the energy shifts and stuff. But even though my parents, my mom, you know, obviously is very supportive. My dad is very locked into the security, you know, I wanted me to be a police officer or something that had very, you know, structured stuff, and always been supportive. But the first time I ever saw, you know, kind of the skepticism of it was when I decided to drop out of school. And then when I decided to, you know, work for myself, that was one of those where I know it was out of concern. I know it was out of, you know, the reality that was built in his program from the world.
Well, but intentionally.
The energy shift was very different because it wasn't in that flexibility and that willingness, but more of that security and trying to keep me in the tribe, which I think after, you know, 6 years now, he's definitely got on board. But it's that resistance that you feel, that energy shift.
Well, sure, sure. Well, you know, we are not who or what we think we are. This external world is an illusion that you, together with your tribe, has created for your experience of it. You've been programmed to believe who you are, what roles to play, what you should be doing with your life, what the world around you is, and because of this programming, you'll become complacent, uncritically satisfied with it. Your ego and your tribe will attempt to keep you complacent because to be critical of it will disturb your energy, as well as disturbing theirs. Except that who you really are is energy, manifested into this physical reality that you now experience with your senses. And because you are energy, the real you will quickly become dissatisfied with this, quote, reality that's been created for you. The programming's reinforced the idea that we must require physical evidence to prove anything about our existence. Thus, we're typically becoming complacent in what the evidence suggests is real. Thus, the notion, I'll believe it when I see it, to be more trustworthy than the idea, you will see it when you believe it. Trusting in your imagination over your intellect is dangerous to complacency. It's dangerous to your ego and to your tribe. Yet complacency is damaging to yourself. Even the entire idea of science itself presents a false equivalence. When you say, I trust the science, what does that even mean? Long ago, the science told us the earth was flat. Then it told us the earth was round. Then it told us it was neither, but a bit oblong rather than a true circle. The science taught us we were the center of the universe. Then it told us the sun was the center. Then it told us our entire galaxy isn't even the center of the universe. So which is real based on a science that keeps changing? We trusted the science of Newton until Einstein came along and changed it. And now the study of quantum physics is challenging the science of Einstein. So even science itself changes. The only constant is change, and yet we remain complacent in the idea of change itself. So there's something just as fundamentally wrong with science as there is with our beliefs. It must change. It's so entirely mind-blowing, it's no wonder. It's just so much more comfortable to be complacent and satisfied with the way things are, or at least what we believe about the way things are. Is it any wonder why we have such a difficult time dealing with change? We were born to change, but taught not to. No wonder we struggle so much with complacency. Do you have any other additional thoughts or questions about that before we close today?
Yeah, the one thing that I like to point out that you mentioned, and I think it's a great point, is that everybody points to science for, you know, the understanding and kind of the getting it. And I think that's a great, you know, basis for certain things, but to understand that it changes. So as we're going through and understanding that there's always more to get from it, you know, how they're starting to prove how spirituality is scientifically proven. You can go through energy, you can see quantum physics, all of these things that people thought were hocus pocus. You get burned at a cross and burned at a stake for saying stuff like that, and, you know, at certain times. And I think that's something that, you know, it's to be open with the change of facts that are coming out and knowing that that's going to change. Because I think, you know, Bill and I, we try to base everything off of science. We try to go everything as science as possible, exactly, with the flexibility of knowing that we don't know everything.
Our trust in science, like I said, is just like our beliefs. It's good to have beliefs. It's good to have faith. It's good to believe in science and trust science to provide us with the information. But we have to keep an open mind, because if some new information comes along that changes it, we cannot be stuck. I don't want to be a member of the Flat Earth Society. You know?
Yeah, I think that was a big thing for me. And I also think, you know, always, you know, stop thinking about just because it doesn't exist currently that means it will never. I think everything that we're looking at, the way that me and you are talking through a laptop right now, recording it for thousands of people to listen to, was an idea, a thought that probably you're being unrealistic to everyone who started it. But everything that it took to get to this point to be able to do this is, you know, a thought of something that was impossible, unrealistic, and it became a physical thing. So I think that's a big thing for a lot of people. It's especially when you're going through those shifts. Maybe you have such a strong, you know, purpose or a strong willingness to want to do something that seems kind of out of this world that nobody is going to back you up on. Those are usually the things that you need to do. You're put here to do things, create things, and kind of make shifts in the planet, whether it be big shifts that the entire world is going to revolve around, or if it's small things that just your tribe, your family members, you know, people around you that are going to, you know, really feel the effects of your purpose for being here. I think that's something that you need to, no matter how crazy it sounds, go after it. And, you know, just because it's unrealistic or impossible to the rest of the world, you know, does not mean that's always going to be that way. As a spiritual
teacher, I get hit with this all the time, where it's like, oh, it's this woo-woo, you know, New Age junk and stuff like that. And I said, you know, but science is starting to prove these things true. At one point, it was like, I believe in God, but I just don't really know what God is. Well, it's almost as if science is coming along now and actually proving the existence of God, except we don't really have a handle on it yet, because it's nothing physical and tangible that we can look at and go, see, I told you so. And, you know, yeah, you got to be open-minded about everything in life.
Yeah, for sure. I think you miss many opportunities and you know, places where that you can learn from when you become close-minded. It doesn't mean you have to listen to everything and take it as truth, but being open-minded, that's why I love talking to people from different religions, people from different walks of life. All these things is because, will that change my beliefs? No, not always. Sometimes it does add to it. Sometimes it will change it. But it's also the understanding, kind of, you know, connecting to people, understanding that your belief is not the right one for everyone, that their belief is not the right one for everybody, but understanding the connection between people, that we all here for the same thing, no matter what the religion is.
Right. So we just have to keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. Don't be complacent, and be open to change. So let's wrap this up. You know, it was a good exchange today. I love talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah. So that's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply clicking like, share, and subscribe. The links are right below the show notes. As always, until next time, stay inspired.